Christopher Bell wins a dramatic NASCAR All-Star race at North Wilkesboro. And up next on the schedule, it's NASCAR's toughest test of men and machine. It's the Coca-Cola 600. Those are our leading topics on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. We're on the precipice of maybe the most exciting week in all of motorsports. Coming up this Sunday, they will race in Monaco in Formula One. After that, they'll drop the green flag on the Indianapolis 500 that has a rookie on the pole. And wrap it all up nicely, the running of the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Welcome to the show. I'm Doug Rice. In studio, I'm joined by Kyle Petty and Brad Gilley. Brad and I, fresh off the MC and PA duties at North Wilkesboro Speedway for the All-Star Race. Fun, eventful weekend at North Wilkesboro.
Oh, my gosh. There were so many things happening, and this is one of those where you walk away and you're saying, oh, do you remember when this happened or this happened? And, boy, could there still be more wrecks in the modified race and all the different things. But ultimately, we had an amazing All-Star race itself, and even the battle to get into it with the Open was fantastic, but all of the side-by-side racing for the lead. I thought the promoter's caution was a fantastic little twist to it, especially the way Michael Waltrip hammed it up. And in the end, it forced decisions in that late race pit stop. Do we stay out? Do we come in for tires? If so, how many do we take? And Christopher Bell, with two fresher tires on the right side than Joey Logano, is now $1 million richer today.
Kyle Petty, I felt like after the first two All-Star races back at the renovated North Wilkesboro Speedway, it was kind of shoulder shrug. I don't know that we were shrugging shoulders after this third edition.
No, there was some good racing all the way through the pack. And in the past, but Wilkesboro has always been, and I've said it on this show, and I've said it a million times, Wilkesboro has always been the type of racetrack that someone would hit that combination and just check out on the field. Always. If we go back to when Darrell won, if we go back to when Ricky Rudd won, if we go back to when Jeff Bodine and those guys would win, they would just check out on the field. It was everybody else racing and then somebody coming up to lap you. That's kind of the way it was. And that's the way the first two All-Star races were. This was 180 degrees different.
And we shouldn't have been surprised at those first two.
No, we should not have been surprised. I think a lot of people were surprised because the hype was built that this is going to be it. They're going to rub each other. They're going to crash. They're going to do that. And the hype last night was the same way. If you listen to the TV, the hype was, it's going to be rough. You got to be aggressive. You got to do this. We didn't see any of that. We saw good racing door to door. And I felt like we saw guys give each other room to make things happen because the racetrack spreads out so big. It's such a wide racetrack anymore. When we raced there, it was 1.5 grooves. Now it's like 16 grooves, even when you get to the corner.
Brad, we saw, I think, more side by side in the first 15 laps of this race this week than we did a total for the first two.
Yeah, the great thing about the way the cars raced at North Wilkesboro, I thought, was there were two lanes of racing. And the other part of it is you could catch someone and you could get next to someone.
Yeah.
But you couldn't catch someone and just drive past him. You were going to have to fight for it. And truthfully, you know, going back to the first heat race, and I thought this at the beginning of the race and at other parts of it, I don't think Brad Keselowski was the fastest car to win the heat race.
No.
And as a result, though, because he was able to hold on to the lead, race Ross Chastain and others side by side like he did, it kept the whole field behind him stacked up, whereas heat race number two, Christopher Bell, was clearly the fastest car, and he drove away. But I think that's what made it interesting, because if the car out front was not the fastest, especially, the whole field was there packed in behind him.
Yeah, so this is my Kyle Petty Debbie Downer on everything. Okay. And I say it, and I listen to the broadcast and I see the piece of paper here. But until we got to lap 71 of the All-Star race, there had not been a pass for the lead. There had been guys running side by side, but there had not been a pass for the lead of the qualifying races to set the order, the heat races. There had not been a pass for the lead at North Wilkesboro in a cup car until we got to lap 71. Now, strategy and a lot of stuff played into the race. But even though we hadn't seen a pass for the lead, I'll turn my Debbie Downer the other way, there was great racing for the lead.
Yeah.
Great racing for the lead. And you don't see that on a weekly basis at a cup race.
But we did get a pass for the lead with 10 laps to go when Christopher Bell kind of gently nudged Joey Logano out of the way. Let's hear from the All-Star winner, C. Bell.
Yeah, I mean, he was just doing such a good job of aero blocking me and taking my lines away, making me loose. So he was doing a really good job, and finally I got a big run off of four, and I was like, all right, buddy, this is it. And tried to do it as friendly as possible, and I can promise you it's nothing that he wouldn't have done.
So how many times did Cale Yarborough say to Richard Petty, you're aero blocking me, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah. He would call him up on Monday when he was apologizing for beating him and say, hey, I'm sorry I beat you. I aero blocked you the whole race.
They wouldn't text?
No, they text and tweeted and all that. No, listen, some of the terminology and some of the way, but that's just the way racing is.
It is.
That is. And that's another tool. And I don't care. You know, we all complain about it sometimes and you watch it, but that's another tool a driver has in his arsenal to be able to use against the guy behind. You don't have to block, physically block, like we see in Formula One or in IndyCar racing, where you just take the line away. You just move up and take the air away, and it totally changes it.
Brad Gilley, Christopher Bell's putting together a nice year.
Yeah, he is. Three consecutive wins, got a lot of playoff points. Now he wins the All-Star race, comes into Charlotte this weekend as the defending winner of the Coca-Cola 600. A lot of cool things going on for them. But here's the thing. He and Adam Stevens have really clicked, and they're just in their zone, which is kind of a fun thing to watch because they seem to be competitive everywhere. I feel like after those three wins, they might have gotten a little bit soft, but I don't look at any one of these races in the upcoming schedule, whether it's Charlotte this week or Nashville or Michigan, even Mexico City coming up after that, that we can't look at Christopher Bell and say that Toyota can be one of the most competitive race potential winning cars out there.
Yeah, and listen, and they are putting together a great year. They're competitive week in and week out. Everywhere you go, doesn't make any difference. And you say Christopher Bell's putting together a great year. And I look at it a little bit opposite and say, Adam Stevens is putting together another Adam Stevens year because he's done it with so many drivers in the past and done so many times. So that's the common denominator with this team that's putting together this type of year. He's playing his game, and it's a long game.
Joey Logano led 139 laps. He did not lead the last 10. He had to finish second behind Christopher Bell. Not the happiest guy.
Pretty aggressive move. He made sure he got me far enough up there that I couldn't get back to him, which at least was smart about that because it wasn't going to be pretty if I got back to him. I can promise you that. But they beat us with less of a car.
Oh.
I think they beat him with a better car at that point in time in the race.
Right.
At that point in time in the race. And I'll say this. I'm a Joey Logano fan, but when he moved him out of the way, Joey Logano was never going to get back to him.
Yeah.
There was no way Joey Logano with those tires was ever going to. Joey Logano's, the nail in the coffin for Joey Logano for me was Ryan Blaney dropping like a rock two laps after that restart.
Right.
He had nobody up there to keep people two wide, to keep people three wide, to race people. You got straight to Joey Logano on two where he stayed out, and you got straight to him, and you had four tires. You're beat already.
I agree with you, and I will tell you this. Working in the PA booth, which is right there along the front stretch, the crowd reaction when Bell moved Joey Logano up the racetrack. I don't know that they were cheering for Christopher Bell. It could have been anyone. Anybody. And they lost their collective minds, Brad.
They did. And it was awesome. And it was also, look, maybe it could have even been two other drivers as well. But it didn't hurt that it was Joey Logano that he was fun to cheer against as well. But I thought that was the fun part of it because they were engaged and we had an all-star race that literally was coming down to the closing laps with two drivers fighting for a win.
There's a little bit of a Bowman Gray crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From that. But I want to say something, and this is an Kyle observation from last night. Watching Joey early in the race, as Joey run down the six car and he caught, to watch him go through one and two and to watch him go through three was incredibly reminiscent of watching Earnhardt drive there. He'd go in, drift up just a little bit to the middle of the racetrack, turn left, and drive straight up off that back corner of number two, straight and straight uphill, not swing out next to the wall, not in a high line, drive, and then hit the bottom, hit the curb as soon as he got to three and four. And he ran every lap that way. And you knew when he got out front, if they were on equal tires, he was going to check out. He could have checked out on the six car. You talked about the six car holding up the heat race. He could have checked out any time, but watching him run the racetrack, he drove it a little bit different down in one and two than most people did.
The miracle that is North Wilkesboro has changed the narrative. We'll chat about that in a little bit. We'll also kind of take a look at the Joe Gibbs Racing Night. It was the best of times, It's kind of also the worst of times. So we'll do that too. Right now, we got to give you our Toyota performance report. It was a good night for Toyota. They won the race with Christopher Bell taking it home. Tyler Reddick was seventh. Ninth went to Chase Briscoe. Denny Hamlin, he was actually there, finished 12th. And 19th went to John Hunter Nemechek. That is our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com.
This is a Camry. This is a Camry on NASCAR. This is a Camry on NASCAR with Ty Gibbs behind the wheel. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. If you want a show with no limits on opinions, join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It proves that these guys are of the elite motorsports level. Being able to win the way that he did, I think, means even more that there weren't any fenders being put to anybody. And for those guys to show what they can do to race cleanly on a road course, they've certainly proved what they can do.
We're starting to see the top competitors become top road course racers.
Join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
Couple of minutes to take a little more holistic look at what went on at North Wilkesboro Speedway this past weekend, and arguably the most interesting of the three all-star races that have been held at that 5/8 mile speedway. Brad has pointed out, you and I were both there. It was a capacity crowd. I don't know how many people North Wilkesboro holds. It couldn't have held many more, but the energy level there, you could feel that even where we were and watching the race unfold.
Everywhere you went, and it's so easy to move around when you're at North Wilkesboro Speedway, whether you're going out to the fan zone, whether you're going to the concessions or whatever it might be, everywhere you went, there was people, but there was an energy. You know, it was a crowd that was happy to be there. It was a crowd that was happy to have fun and do a lot of really neat things. And it's such an intangible, Kyle, but you just feel it. I mean, you feel the excitement in the room.
And that's the way short tracks should feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You should feel like it's my track. It's my local place. It's my home. And you know, I did not go yesterday, but I was up there last year. And you still felt it last year. You felt like the newness was there. But at the same time, people were there because they wanted to be there, because they were having a great time. They weren't complaining about having to lug something, you know, 6 miles from a parking lot. They were happy to be sitting next to somebody and watching a race.
I think the narrative changed dramatically after this race. As we've always said already, this was an exciting race. It had a great finish. Yeah. There was some drama. There was some anger at the end of it. The first two were runaways. Kyle Larson and Joey Logano just waxed the field, enough said. And there was some muttering, like, we did all of this work just to get this. There was none of that muttering. But, Brad, it changed dramatically. You and I were there, and now the fan reaction is, oh, they've got to get a points race. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on. They've got to have a race that counts for something at North Wilkesboro.
So I've been thinking about this since yesterday, because Doug and I were sitting up there on Saturday watching the Truck Series race, which had 34 trucks in it. And I'm going, this is cool. There are trucks all around the racetrack. And then I thought, watching the All-Star race, I even said to Doug, man, imagine if there were 13 more cars out here. But honestly, I don't know that that would make a difference.
Yeah.
Because it would be a completely different event. And I'm not opposed to a points race, yeah. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if people are racing for $1 million, it's a little bit different if people are racing for either maybe they can win or maybe they can collect a lot of points and things like that. If more cars were on the track, lap cars and all of that, would that actually aid a leader in driving either further forward? You know, I don't know.
That's a great point, because we never got to that point.
Yeah.
We never got to that point in the All-Star race. Right. We never got to that point in any of the heat races where you had the leader had to work lap traffic, like we see at Bristol, when the leader is a half a lap ahead and he catches lap traffic and boom, the second place guy is right on him. So we never saw any of that. It'd be interesting to see how it played out. Doug's smiling.
Denny Hamlin almost became lap traffic.
Oh, there we go.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Perfect segue.
Best part of the show right here.
I love you, Denny. I really do. I watch your show a lot. here's my thing on, it's got to be a points race. This was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a fun, entertaining race. Then why automatically do people jump and say, let's change it? We got it right. Let's do something different.
So I'm going to use the All-Star race as a model. How many times have we had double file restarts, shootout style, or whatever? You know what I mean? I mean, how many things have we experimented, rules packages and other things, during the All-Star race that everybody raved about, that instantly became mainstream, that instantly we started to complain about because those guys in the garage area and those guys figured out a way around the rules?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so my point is, it's like, and my mom would always say it, it's like chocolate. If I give it to you all the time, it's not special. You know what I mean? Mm. Wilkesboro is special because it means something right now. If it's just another race on a 36-race schedule, does it mean anything? Does it hold that? Does it hold that excitement for the fans? Does it hold that? It will for some, don't get me wrong, because no matter how many times you run Charlotte, it's going to mean that to some people, but it's not going to mean that to everybody.
It's funny you mention that, because I think most people have short memories. I know they do. That the current way we restart races was born out of the All-Star race.
That's right.
It used to cars a lap down were here, cars in the lead lap were here.
Yeah.
And that's, if you tried to do that now, Brad, I cannot imagine the visceral reaction people would have.
No, because, it was proven here at Charlotte Motor Speedway that this works and this is the way we should do it. I mean, and to that point, if you only had three cars a lap down, you had the outside line of 40 cars, and then you had an inside line of three cars lining up on the inside. And it just, you know, we've evolved to a sweet spot with that. And the All-Star race allowed us to do that. The All-Star race, to your point too, Kyle, had shown us rules packages that became commonplace in whatever generation car we were running. A lot of different things. Yep. I mean, you know, option tires we tried last year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Option tires. There's so many things that you can try. And I like that. In the All-Star race, because the All-Star race doesn't mean anything except for the guy who wins.
Right.
And I have to but it allows NASCAR at a third of the way through the season or at a point in the season to reevaluate some of the stuff and maybe say, well, we might not do it this year. But here's what I keep having to remember when I watch the All-Star race. I'm going to tell you this. I have to remember that it's for the fans, because there's a lot of things that happen that sometimes I don't like as a true race fan. But then I think, man, that's great for a fan. Fan loves that.
The one bit of trickeration that we had in the most recent All-Star race was the promoter's optional caution flag.
Yeah. And who would have ever thought that would brought the tallest rapper in the world to throw the yellow flag? My man.
Michael Walker.
Yeah. He
your
like
buddy.
A, he
the guy
like a
that
rapper
used to live
there.
In your house.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he did. And he was sporting his old The Winston coat.
So cool. So
from,
cool.
From a past Winston that he won. And Brad and I talked about this. He was perfect to do that.
Yeah.
He was absolutely perfect to play to the crowd about the optional flag.
Yeah. I don't know what television showed, but he walked down there at first and was just sitting at the base of the grandstands signing autographs.
Signing autographs.
Yeah. Brought out a bunch of hero cards and everything, and then finally walked up to the flag stand, and then he's working the crowd. You know, and he's like, five laps, five laps. Yeah. Like, he's going to throw it on lap 210. And then lap 210 hits. He's like, five more laps. You know, it was great.
TV did a really good job of that because they showed him signing autographs going to break one time. And then they showed him up in there and they showed him waving at the crowd, trying to get him excited, trying to get him up. And then five laps. And then he'd hold up two. And then he'd tap the flagman on the shoulder and the flagman shaking his head. They all played into it. Yeah. The flagman played into it perfectly.
I've got to give him huge points. I don't know that there's anybody else in our sport that would have gone up there and had delivered the kind of performance. Yeah. All right, I'll start with you, Brad. He did drop the yellow flag on the track.
He did.
Accident or pre-planned?
Oh, no. I think Michael is pure genius
in this. He
knew exactly what he was doing. Yes. And what a perfect way to end it, too. I mean, you know, you ham up the crowd. That was an awesome payoff for him.
The only
to drop
thing
it.
That would have been better if he'd have thrown it through the side window of a car. You know, if he could have got it inside a car, like oh, there I am. It was perfect, and I think it's vintage Michael Walter.
Kudos to him. Now, Joey Logano was upset. He said, "I don't like gimmicks. Then don't race in the All-Star
race." Then don't race
the
All-Star race, because that's what I. That goes back to what I just said. It's not for us.
Right.
It's not for the industry as far as the drivers and the teams. It's not for us to enjoy or whatever. This is our gift to the fans. This was R.J. Reynolds and the Winston was their gift to the fans to say, we want to put on something just like the NBA, just like everybody else. We want to put on something special, and it's just for you. It's our home run derby. It's our three-point play. It's our dunk contest. That's what it is.
Quickly, and we're going to go long in this segment, Joe Gibbs Racing was all over the board. They win the race with Christopher Bell. Way to go. Mediocre performance from Chase Briscoe. Ty Gibbs can't even get out of the open round to get to play in the big show. And Denny Hamlin, nowhere to be found. How does that happen, Brad? How do you have that kind of dichotomy that you've got the winning racer, and then you've got Denny Hamlin, easily a future Hall of Famer, couldn't do anything?
Well, it's still the bad karma that he's suffering from walking across the stage of Texas with the horns down. But this is what's surprising, honestly, and this is one thing that annoys me too, Kyle. Sometimes, and I don't know what Denny said after the race, but a lot of times someone has a bad performance and they go, "Oh, we were just trying something."
Yes.
Well, it didn't work. I mean, like, what were you trying? How does one of the best short track racers that has raced in the last 20 years, not even be able to get out of the top 15? You know, to get passed by Harrison Burton, and this is no disrespect to Harrison, he's not a full-time Cup driver this year, you know? So he's not out there every week in this car, yet he's better than Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, and the difference between, and no disrespect again, Harrison's equipment and Denny's equipment.
Right.
Yeah, you could build like 15 million Super Walmarts between that. That's how far apart they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of the way it is. But you look at it and you think, you know, I'm all for a team trying something, but don't make me look bad. Let's don't look bad doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost like they said, okay, here's what we're going to try. We're going to try NASCAR's new four-cylinder engine. You know what I mean? We're going to try NASCAR's new, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they weren't even in the ballpark, man. When you watched it, when you did get a glimpse of him on the racetrack, and which it was very rarely if you watched it from TV, they weren't even in the ballpark. And Denny Hamlin is arguably the best short track racer in at the Cup level.
Right.
I'm telling you, man, he is flawless. He is so, to watch him do it, he's so smooth. He's so perfect. It's an art form, but he was terrible.
It was almost painful to watch him race.
It was
in both the heat race that he competed in and the main feature.
And the heat race, I can say, the heat race, I'll throw that one out because you say, okay, now you got a chance to do something. Go back and fix it. But if you left it that way, what's your point? What were you experimenting with to try to come off of this platform?
So congrats once again to C-Bell for coming home with the win. NASCAR Hall of Fame voting happens this week. We'll take a look at some of the names on the ballot.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Drivers, start your engines!
Atlanta Motor Speedway is built for battles. High speeds, tight packs, dramatic finishes.
Crossover move! They're three wide for the lead!
But you've never seen Atlanta Motor Speedway like this, under the lights, where every moment feels bigger. Experience the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, Saturday, June 28th, under the lights in Atlanta. Get your tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside. Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has trouble.
And a spin off of turn four. Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
This week we'll have brand new members of the NASCAR Hall of Fame for the class of 2026. That's when they will get inducted. And Brad Gilley, we added a name that I think kind of pops off the list to folks that can be voted for, and that is Kurt Busch. Is Kurt Busch going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think so. I think, number one, his career deserves it. A champion of our sport. So many trips to victory lane. The one thing to me that stands out even more about Kurt Busch, everywhere he went, he made the team better. And whether it was at Roush when he was still a young driver where he won his championship, to Team Penske, to going to James Finch, to going to Furniture Row, obviously Stuart Haas Racing, and 2311. He made every single one of those teams better. So I think, yes, his career stands for itself as a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think the mix of people that we're voting on, Kurt stands out in that group.
Kyle, Kurt had an interesting career and was in the news a lot.
Yeah,
is that going to hurt him, or do people just look, say, what Brad Gilley said, that guy was a heck of a race car driver and made teams better?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because I'm a firm believer that the Hall of Fame should be what you did on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
It just should. Yeah. Baseball Hall of Fame, NFL, and I don't care. It should be what you do. You know what I mean? And all the peripheral stuff, that's it. Don't get me wrong, and there probably is a line out there, but I think you mentioned Kurt, champion. That's all you have
right.
to say. That's all you have to say. I think once you get that championship, no matter if you win one race and win a championship, you should be in the Hall of Fame because you are a champion. You have been a part of that. You've changed the sport in some way, and that's just my opinion on it because there's not a lot of champions. We can go back and see a lot of winners,
yeah,
but there's not a lot of champions.
All right, and following up on that, a guy that won a lot, never won a title and cup, won a truck title, won an Xfinity title, is Greg Biffle. But Greg Biffle also was in the news for his wonderful contribution to hurricane relief, getting the helicopter army up and going and sending relief to people in Western North Carolina. I feel as a human, that's Hall of Fame type stuff.
It's not a humanitarian Hall of Fame.
It is true.
It's not a humanitarian. Right. Listen, it's not a social Hall of Fame. It's not a humanitarian. Don't get me up on a soapbox here.
Oh, okay. Please, go awesome. Right ahead.
No.
It is a sports Hall of Fame, okay?
Yep.
And that should enhance what you do, but that should not take lead of what you do, okay? I think we're back to the Kurt Busch thing. It's an enhancement that, hey, I won this championship. I won that championship. I won these races. And oh, by the way, I was a pretty good person. I helped people when they needed to be helped. And I think that's the category that Greg Biffle. And again, before you speak, because you're from Western North Carolina, so you have a vested interest and you're biased in this.
Yeah, I do.
Before you speak, that's recent. That's very recent. Yeah. So it's on everybody's mind. So are we voting what's on everybody's mind now? Because I want to go back to Harry Hyde. I want to go back to Randy Dorton. I want to go back to guys like that who changed the sport. Randy Dorton changed the sport with his engine building prowess and what he has created at Hendrick that continues to have an impact on this sport today. There's guys like that that continue to have a lasting effect on the sport itself, on the guys we see on the racetrack. So I think Biffle is well deserving. This is Kyle.
Yep.
Well deserving. I don't think this year against this class though.
I think we all, I speak just for me. I sometimes am a prisoner of the moment, living in the now, and that is a now thing. Some of the other folks that are on the ballot, Neil Bonnet, guy that was very successful at Charlotte Motor Speedway and winning the Coca-Cola 600, crew chief Tim Brewer, Jeff Burton is on there, Randy Dorton, as Kyle Petty mentioned, Jake Suitcase Elder, and the reason he got the suitcase moniker was because he never stayed in one place very long. Harry Gant, who I thought might have gotten in last year.
Yeah.
I still think that's a big name that will probably garner a lot of votes. Let's chat about there was a time before Corey LaJoy, and it was Randy LaJoy.
That's right. I got him drawn up right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think so. I think when you look at Jack Ingram and you look at some of the other guys, you look at Hornaday, you got to put Randy LaJoy in that conversation. I'm sorry. I mean, he was not a Southern kid who grew up on the Southern short tracks. He grew up in the North, running modifieds, running the North Series, winning championships up there, and came down here and did the same thing. And he did it working on his own car, doing his own stuff, building. He didn't have some big team. He didn't do all that stuff. So there's so many pluses for him that I think from that work ethic. And then let's throw in the joy of seating and how he changed his safety innovations and how he's come through that. That's the type of enhancement that I look at when I look at what Greg Biffle has done. That enhances what he did on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Randy has done off the racetrack for young drivers all across the country. There's guys driving in Tucson, Arizona that have one of Randy's seats in their car. There's guys in Tulsa, Oklahoma that have Randy LaJoy's seat in their car. So I think when you looked at that for a period of time, that was a big thing for the sport.
Brad Gilley, you get to vote this year. You will be the PRN representative in the NASCAR Hall of Fame panel. Geeked about that opportunity?
I'm very excited. Just to see the process and to be a part of the process and all of that. So I'm a big believer in the Hall of Fame. It's almost surprising that we went so long before we had one in our sport, but we have one now. And so many great names are in there. And I think it's just going to be that's what I'm most excited about. I have zero expectation. I don't know what to expect on a lot of levels. On some I do. But just to be a part of the process is a huge honor.
Well, we'll find out. They'll be announcing later on this week who gets into the Hall of Fame. It's always a wonderful thing. I would be remiss if I didn't mention they have a landmark award for people that have made tremendous contributions to the sport. For the first year ever, a man that I consider a mentor of mine, H.A. Humpy Wheeler, is on the ballot. I wish the best for Humpy. I'm showing my prejudice here. You can talk about that. The one thing you can't discuss is, well, in this meeting, Brad Gilley said this about this person. That's foreboding. But going in, I mean, you don't have to be too smart to figure out that I'd love to see Humpy get this.
To me, when you talk about Humpy Wheeler, we talk about everything that he did at Charlotte Motor Speedway and what a promoter he was. But I think when you talk about Humpy Wheeler and everything he did at Charlotte Motor Speedway, all of that contributed to the sport as a whole and had a big, major influence.
Yeah. And I go back even further, and I'll go back when Humpy worked with Firestone. He was, when Firestone and Goodyear were here at the same time, Humpy was there. So he was here in the days when there was a tire war, and he navigated that and was part of that and part of the industry at that time. So Humpy's contributions to the sport are not just the Humpy bumper and everything that went on here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way back to the early 60s. When he was down in the garage area making things happen.
The Humpy bumper. I had forgotten about that.
Classic. Yeah. Classic, dude.
Carbon fiber, classic. Reinforcement, safety thing.
A guy you mean named the same Peter thing we Lou. Have now?
Yeah.
You mean kind of like the same kind of stuff
yes.
we have now?
Yes, yes exactly.
And see?
Also, the birth of the Legends car,
which has been
hugely influential. You can't find a champion in the last 15 years.
No.
That didn't race Legends cars.
True.
That was a Humpy Wheeler idea.
True.
Exclusively on him. The whole Bandolero deal and all of that came out of the genius of Humpy Wheeler. But that'll be fun to watch the voting for the Landmark Award, too. We got to take a timeout. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport. Your dad and David Pearson racing for the win at Daytona 76.
I learned more from my dad in that moment than probably all the years of being his son before that. Ran that race, comes down to the last lap. Pearson passes Petty. Petty passes Pearson. My dad passes him going into turn three, sweeps up in front of him. They kind of cross over. They get together coming out of turn four. Even though they're running 180, 90, 200 miles an hour, it's the most slow motion wreck in the history of time. As you watch my dad spin and spin down into the grass, you watch Pearson's car with the front end just caved in, come to a stop. And we all leave pit road and run out to the grass. You can see it's myself, it's Barry Dodson, it's Wade Thornburg, it's Dale Inman. We run out and we push the car across the line. We didn't know that if you help the car across the line on the last lap, you're penalized the lap. So if you go back and look at that, my dad finished one lap down in the Daytona 500 that year.
Welcome back to Fast Talks. Doug Rice, Kyle Petty, and Brad Gilley hot off the heels of the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro. Now we have to start looking forward to the Coca-Cola 600 here.
Yes.
Charlotte Motor Speedway, where the PRN studios are located. And Brad, we toss around this crown jewel statement a lot, but I think when it comes to that race, it's well-deserved.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think the undisputed crown jewels are the Daytona 500, the Coca-Cola 600, and the Southern 500. And I know people often will talk about, where does the Brickyard 400 fall in? I feel like originally in its time it was there, and maybe it is there again. Or some people say the Bristol Night Race is another one of the crown jewel events. But I don't know that we need to have seven of them. Yeah. Three are fine.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, listen, you can still have a great event and not be a jewel. You can be a little bit a smaller jewel. Let's just put it that the enhancement jewel. But the 600, listen, the Coca-Cola 600, and you can you go through and study this, whether it be sports car racing, whether it be any form of racing in the world, it's the only race that's over 500 miles that one driver competes in, okay? Mm-hmm. Everywhere else you run a three-hour race, there's two drivers in sports cars. They one gets out, one gets in.
Right.
This is 600 flipping miles, you know what I mean? And it's tough, and it used to be really tough, but it's still a tough grind. That last 100 miles is something that it's like you hear people when they say they run a marathon and they get to mile 21 or 22, whatever it is, and they hit a wall. You hit a wall at like 502 miles here.
It's the only race where on pit road I see drivers being fed.
Yeah.
Mid-race.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're literally throwing sandwiches in there and doing different things like that.
Yeah, listen, it's a DoorDash race for sure. and I think, but it always has been. It always has been. And it is a test. This is that one race. And I'm going to say this, okay, and I'll take heat for it. So in recent years, as we look at the Daytona 500, okay, and you look at that race, it's a race where if you're in the right line at the right place at the right time, you could win. And I would say there's been some Daytona 500 winners that are not going to go down in history as the greatest drivers in this sport.
Yeah.
But you look at the Coca-Cola 600 and you look at Pearson, you look at Earnhardt, you look at Jeff Gordon, you look at Jimmy John, you look at the guys that win the 600, they're great. Mm-hmm. It's unmistakable where these guys belong and where they fall in the pecking order.
That's interesting that you say that, because the Daytona 500 has changed. I'm not taking away from its significance.
Significance, no.
But it used to be a race that people got out and won by 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you knew they were going to win. That doesn't happen anymore. That's good, but that's also, there's that element of luck. Am I in the right line? Do I have a teammate that's going to help me out? Is somebody else going to push me along? Brad Gilley, for the second year in a row, Kyle Larson will do the double, hopefully uninterrupted by weather this year. What are your expectations for Kyle Larson at Indy and here at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the 600?
Well, truthfully, after a mediocre qualifying run where he's going to start 21st, I don't know that I have high hopes. And let's be honest, Kyle Larson went to Indy in April and he wrecked a car. He went to Indy in May and he's wrecked a couple of cars now. And that's great. I guess he knows where the limit is.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the expectation for Kyle Larson to do well for me this year is at the same level as it was last year on his first attempt. And then beyond that, I think Kyle Larson can show up anywhere and drive into victory lane in a cup car. I have high hopes for what he can do in the Coca-Cola 600.
I'm going to say this, and they have made a point, and maybe I'm just paying attention to it.
Yeah.
But this year they have made a point to state the 600 is our priority.
Right.
Okay, it should have been your dang priority last year.
Yeah.
You're a cup driver. You're not an Indy car. I'm sorry. I'm going to criticize them until the cows come home for that one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Indy took priority over the 600 last year, and that's why he was in the position he was in. That's why they were in the position they were in when they got to the playoffs. That played a large – it just had a ripple effect all year long. From the time he didn't make the 600 and time to get in a car, it had a ripple effect. This year, they have come out publicly and said, the 600 is our priority. If there's any glitch, we're leaving up there. We're coming back. They got a driver up there to get in, Kanaan and all that.
Yeah.
They're set. So it's a different mentality this year.
Brad, as we look at the Coca-Cola 600 coming up, it'll be the halfway mark of the regular season.
It will.
Mm-hmm. And that's significant. But we're going to be at that mark, and we only have 7 drivers that have won this year. Are we going to add a name to that list?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at the list of drivers who have won this year, from William Byron to Kyle Larson to Christopher Bell to Denny Hamlin. Joey Logano has made it into victory. If we were going to add one, it'd be the only Team Penske driver who hasn't won, in my opinion, and that would be Blaney. But I don't know that we leave Charlotte with more than 7 winners.
Yeah, I don't either. I look at the Gibbs organization, the Hendrick organization, and the Penske organization. I look at those particularly, and you say, it's got to come out of one of those camps.
Yes, it will.
It's got to come out of one of those camps. And that's not going to really disrupt our order right now, I don't believe.
I feel that way across the board. Kyle, I'll start with you, that there are those three teams, Penske, Hendrick, Gibbs, and then there's kind of all the rest.
Yeah.
Is that an oversimplification?
No, that's not an oversimplification. Listen, anytime all the rest, when we look at Trackhouse, when we look at Childress, when we look at some of those teams – anytime they jump into the top five, you can tell it because the announcers on TV go crazy because they get to talk about somebody new.
Great point.
You know what I mean? They just get to talk about somebody new, man, because we expect the Denny Hamlins and the Christopher Bells and the Joey Loganos and the Ryan Blaneys. And we expect those guys to be up there. You know, but you put Chastain a couple of years ago, we expected Chastain. But now when Chastain jumps up in there, it's like, oh, my gosh, Ross Chastain is in the top five. You know, is this going to be Brad Kay's day? You know what I mean? We made such big deals out of that. So, I don't see anybody.
I agree with both of you. I think that winner comes out of those three teams. And if it's anybody else, it's an upset in my mind.
I would, I think so.
And yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's just simply the way it's gone. So, we'll see how it goes. You know what it's time for? It's time for them to mix up the race car again.
Yeah, it is. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. That is a great point. But sometimes I used to say this about Felix. We'd run Sabco and we had a pretty good team and the waters would be calm and Felix would stick his finger in it and stir it up. You know what I mean? And it'd be chaos for a while and then it'd calm down again.
Yep.
But it just made it exciting. You know what I mean? And it just changes the way you have to get someplace and it keeps it interesting.
I couldn't agree more. But if you do that, if we shook it up and NASCAR came out with some wild new rules, I think it would be the same thing again. It would level.
It
for
would get
a
there.
Year.
Yeah, for a short period. It does.
Yeah.
It's just a reset. Mm-hmm. It's a reset.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
the teams that have critical mass and more resources, more money, more of everything would eventually do what they've done with this generation car.
Sure. Yeah, which is why every 3 years or so, let's throw a wrench into it, change it all up.
Yeah.
Yes, give us something else to chat about. Yeah. All right, we got to take a time out. When we come back, we'll do a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Get ready, race fans. NASCAR is back in Music City with a new name, the Cracker Barrel 400. Guitars, fast cars, and the comfort of Cracker Barrel's country hospitality, May 30th through June 1st. The action kicks off Friday night at Nashville Super Speedway with the Rackley Roofing 200, then the Tennessee Lottery 250 on Saturday, and Sunday night, NASCAR's top stars under the lights in the Cracker Barrel 400. Get your tickets now at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com.
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the Five to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the Five to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Before we get into our next segment, quick question this week, kind of historic for the Coca-Cola 600. Kyle, I'll start with you. It will be a streaming product, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Is this going to just happen and everybody goes, I know how to stream, or will there be rendering of garments and gnashing of teeth on Sunday?
So there's going to be, gnashing of teeth. There's going to be complaints. There's going to be protests. There's going to be everything.
But protest. I'm gonna go back. I love protests.
But hold on. But I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go back. And my grandfather, my mother's father, even when TV started being on TV, would not watch a race on TV. Races were not meant to be on TV, son. They're meant to be. You listen on the radio. That's how you hear a race. You know what I mean? And he would. And there were people that were upset, even then, because they didn't want to see it. They just wanted to hear it. They'd gotten so used to hearing it. We've gotten so used to watching it on a little box. Now we can watch it on our phone. Now we can watch it on our computer. We can see it a lot of places. It's that transition. We're just going through a transition, just like this car was a transition 3 or 4 years ago. We're just going through a transition. And who better to do it with than Amazon and Turner and those guys?
Brad?
I think it's more accessible on Amazon Prime than it is anywhere else. And look, we had a major change with the Xfinity series to the CW. And you know, you heard some complaints early on, but you've had over a million people watching them every single week. It's grown.
Huge.
Work for the NFL with Amazon Prime. And again, it's more accessible than I think anything else that we've had now.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll be almost seamless. I think we discount the audience's sophistication. They know how to stream things. It's not something new. This is not breaking any ground. Speaking of breaking ground, let's do this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
America demands it. We do it right here. Read carefully prepared statements from highly paid writers, and our panel will mull them over. They will listen to them, think about them, and give it a green flag if they agree. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. If they're all in unison. We start with Brad Gilley today. Every race should have a promoter's caution.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be advocating for this in a big way. We talked earlier, the All-Star Race gave us double file restarts. The All-Star Race proved we could light up a speedway like Charlotte Motor Speedway. The All-Star Race has given us so much. I would be on board for a promoter's caution in every points paying race.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Petty.
So first, I think we already have them. They're called stage breaks.
True.
All right, just thought that. No, I think we should have multiple promoters
cautions. Double down. I like that.
Yeah, I think we should have multiple because there become stages during the race in each stage where it's like, man, if I could just get a caution right here, this would change the complexion of this whole thing. So I'm going to give it a green flag.
Doug Rice.
I want a caution that's picked randomly based on who's leading. Let's say we have a pill pick before the race, and it says Joey Logano on the pill. When Joey Logano takes the lead, a caution comes
so
out.
So you know it's going to happen? That's kind of evil,
though. They had that. They did that since past weekend. When Denny Hamlin took the lead, they were going to throw a caution.
For sure.
Okay, just thought I'd throw that out. I apologize, Doug.
No, I love it. I love it. That's true.
Kyle Petty, we go to you on this next one. Every celebrity flagman should have to have the flag tethered to their person.
Wow.
Well, first you're calling Michael a celebrity by putting that in there. Okay.
Whoa. So that's
No, listen, I thought that I'm gonna give that black flag because that just added so much to everything that happened at North Wilkesboro. That's just a story that fans and people are gonna be talking about forever.
Doug.
Should have a tether. I got to wave the green at Bristol last year. You have about 6 inches of a handle to hang on to. And that is nerve wracking.
Put some pine rosin on it. Just like, who is the guy? George Brett.
George Brett.
Pine tar. Yeah. Man, I'm going back in time on
that. Oh, that's a good one.
Way back in
the
time.
The random nice. George Brett reference.
Yes,
I love that.
I'm glad you remember because I was drawing a blank.
What do you think, Brad?
Black flag. If they want to drop it, look, Doug was able to hang on to his, but that was part of the entertainment on Sunday night at the All-Star Race. No.
Flex for us, Doug. Flex. Show us.
That's the first thing the flag guy says. If you drop it, you have to go get it. Just saying.
Yeah.
Doug, we'll go to you on this one. North Wilkesboro should have a cup points paying race in 2026. Are we going there?
No.
Brad.
Black flag. I like what I saw. Why do we have to change what is awesome?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, black flag. Yep. Black flag. It's anonymous.
Oh, it's anonymous? Okay,
yeah, it's anonymous. Thank you. It's anonymous.
And finally, let's go back to Brad on this one. Yeah. It's already been decided Christopher Bell will be the series champ in 2025. Go
black
ahead and say it.
Flag.
Oh, you're not going to say it. All right.
What?
That he's going to be the champ in 2025.
He's not going to be the champ. Well, I don't know. He might be the champ in 2025. Okay. But I can't say that after 12 races.
No.
You can't say that. It's like that .com, homes.best.homes.com. You can't say that.
with
Morgan Freeman. No, you can't. And I say no. We jump on these bandwagons. He wins 3 in a row, he's the champion. Then Denny wins 2 in a row, Denny's going to be the champion. Then Joey Logano wins, he's going to be the champion. I say no. Black flag, we can't say it.
Doug, no reason he couldn't.
Well, they'd have to take Kyle Larson's name off the trophy.
Oh, wow. There we go. Woo.
All right, there's your green flag, black flag.
Just saying. We'll be right back.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey folks, it's Doug Rice. Did you know you can take PRN with you anywhere? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live races just about any place on the planet, and you will not miss a second of the action. Plus, you can hear our shows like the fantastic editions of Fast Talk, plus Brett McMillan on the Pit Reporters and Mark Garrow with Garage Fast. Get all the latest racing information right at your fingertips. The PRN mobile app, available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
All
Our planet is home to some of the most amazing creatures you could ever imagine, from the biggest bears to the smallest birds and everything in between. If we want our kids and their kids to experience the magic of wildlife that we have today, it's on us to step it up and take action. You can make a difference. Learn more about wildlife conservation in your area and how you can help. This is Eli Wenders. Let's make sure our wildlife is around for generations to come. Y'all take care of the earth and it'll take care of us. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The speed, the drama, the only NASCAR race in California. The Toyota Save Mart 350 NASCAR Weekend rolls into Sonoma Raceway July 11th through 13th. 3 days of high-speed thrills, edge-of-your-seat action, and family fun in the heart of wine country. Bring the whole family. Kids tickets start at just $10. Don't miss NASCAR's biggest stars battling for victory. Get your tickets now at SonomaRaceway.com. This is NASCAR. This is California. This is Sonoma.
Don't forget, this weekend, the gang from the Performance Racing Network will have all the coverage of the Coca-Cola 600. And if you get a chance, tune in earlier that day to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, where our great friends at the IMS Radio Network will cover the 109th running of the Indianapolis 500. Time now for this.
One last thing.
Brad Gill.
I'm going to add to what you're saying, actually. I'm going to go in a different direction, but this just reminded me. For the past 3 years now, we're going to do it this weekend as well. We're going to combine the Indianapolis 500 and Coca-Cola 600 as myself and Nick Yeoman from IMS Radio and PRN will actually do a Greatest Day in Racing show starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So we'll preview both the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600, and we'll let you know. We'll confirm who won Monaco. I think that's going to be determined on poll day. But still, we'll have a fun day talking about it all.
Cool.
Kyle Petty, one last thing.
Okay, my one last thing is, and I think about this a lot. I think about it, and with the Hall of Fame coming up, it always comes back to my mind, is the Hall of Fame, first and foremost, you should get in on what you did on the field of play, on the track, no matter. That should be your first criteria. But I look at some of the guys who are the pioneers. Jake Elder, I look at him. Ray Hendrick, a force in the state of Virginia. Banjo Matthews, we raced cars that Banjo designed. The Banjo chassis won more Daytona 500s and things like that. Larry Phillips, we talked about him. Bob Welborn, three-time convertible series champion. Okay, three-time convertible. We don't mention the convertible series when we talk about the Hall of Fame a lot of times. My point on that is this. We must recognize the pioneers and celebrate the pioneers and embrace the pioneers, or there is no Kurt Busch. There is no future to this sport. There is no Kyle Larson. There is nothing. We have to acknowledge the foundation and celebrate that foundation. And that's why I love this time of year, because those stories bubble back to the top, and it's not only an opportunity to honor, it's an opportunity to educate.
Well, that's why in the thinking, and I'll give NASCAR credit here, that there are those five names on the pioneer ballot.
Yes.
And one of those five names that you just mentioned will be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. It should be difficult to get elected in. If it's not, then I think it gets watered down. And they've done a pretty good job. The first few years, you had five people you could vote for, and they got in. And then they realized, if we keep doing this, we're going to be putting in drivers, to your point, Kyle, that don't deserve to be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
True.
I think everybody's name, it's on the ballot, whether it's modern era, whether it's pioneer.
Or deserving.
Or landmark this year. I can almost make a case for all of them.
Yes, you can.
And I do love this time of year, because names that we don't talk about get voted in. Brad, have a lot of fun this weekend coming up.
It was awesome.
Coca-Cola 600, it's always a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't wait. And thank you very much. North Wilkesboro was fantastic. Coca-Cola 600, again, one of NASCAR's crown jewel events, and a way for us to also honor and remember. They talk about 600 miles worth of remembrance. When we stop at halfway and have a moment of silence, there is just a chill in the air while we think about those who gave up the ultimate sacrifice.
I know there's lots of greatness in the world. The Coke 600 is way up that list, folks, and it's always dramatic. And if you can win that race, Kyle Petty, you earn a big place in the history of this sport. We got to take a break and call this one a show. Be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.